When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. We are at the end of season three. We are in the finale episode. And I want to say, if you'd like to see us live, the three of us, watching the finale, it's on Patreon. A lot of perks on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/Talkville, you're going to get a lot of perks. And most importantly, you're going to be helping the podcast. We're doing some transitioning things. We want to get as many people on board as we can. Your support means the world to us. We would not have been able to do three seasons so far if it weren't for you. Ryan Tejas, welcome.
Hi.
Hello, Tom. Hello. Welling.
Hey, guys. As you'll see, there's some technical differences today, as it seems like every couple episodes we have something, but it's usually me.
It's always Tom. Also, if you watch the Patreon live viewing of the finale of season three with us, you'll notice that we forgot to tell Ryan about it, and he rushed home and he watched it with us, but he was sweating profusely from his run, drinking water, and a little flabbergasted, to say the least.
Quite. I mean, we had agreed to do it on that day, but we didn't have like a
set time.
Yeah, we didn't really hammer it home like the day before or anything. So I was on a run. I was trying to improve my physical and mental health, and I had to race home because I had to come home because I live up a hill. So I had to sprint up
the
hill.
Were you running up that hill?
I was.
Running up that building.
I sure was.
Did you set a new PR when you had to like sprint the last mile of your run when you realize you're late?
I was towards the end of it, so I was like in like ready to cool down, but I did not cool down.
Our socials are Talkville Podcast at Talkville Podcast. If you write a review, you can write a review on Apple or whatever. It really helps the podcast. Subscribe, listen. If you did get a chance to call into our hotline, you can just go to my Instagram, which is at the Michael Rosenbaum, and go to my link tree. You could see my Cameo. You could see where Tom and I are going for cons. You can see all sorts of stuff, handles for Talkville, my podcast Inside of You. Also, the TalkvillePodcast.com, great merch. The merch, people love the merch. You can get a Damn Who's That t-shirt or sweatshirt. You can get new art that's only 50 prints of me and Tom that we signed. They're available now, so you might want to jump on that for the holidays. And all sorts of other stuff. And the Inside of You online store. We got Lexmas scripts and Talkville, the keys, the ship keys, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But thanks for the support. Without further ado, let's get into season three, episode 22. This is called Covenant. Title Covenant aired May 19th, 2004. Director was Gregory Beeman. We love Greg. Teleplay by Alfred Goff and Miles Miller. Story by Todd Slavkin and Darren Swimmer. Guest star Adrian Palicki, a buddy of mine, as Lindsay Harrison, Kara. If you're from New York, it's Kara. Gary Hudson as FBI agent Frank Loder, Robert Wisden as Gabe Sullivan, Terrence Stamp as the voice of Jor-El. Do your best Jor-El, Ryan. You can't?
No, I can't. I'm not going to do that.
Jor-El.
I think we should get, you know, our buddy Bob, who likes the AG1.
Bob Knutson? Oh, yeah. He loves AG1.
Yeah. I'd love to get him to read. You know, he'd be like, Laura, Kara.
Hey, how you doing? I love the AG1. I'll tell you what.
Clark.
Synopsis. Clark gets visited by an old family friend and comes face to face with his Kryptonian destiny and the deal his earthly father has made. Lex pushes to seal his father's fate and exposes the danger in doing so to everyone involved. Also, we have, if everything works out right, we have a guest today. If I'm wrong, then we won't. We're waiting on the heel. What do you say on the heels of our
tippy toes?
No. What's the saying?
What are you trying to say?
When you're waiting on, like, you know,
your bated breath?
Eh, whatever. This episode of Twilight opens with a naked lady walking through the woods and onto the highway before she gets T-boned by an oncoming car. She gives it a haymaker, flipping it over and incinerating the driver inside. I really love the effect. That was a great opening. Really cool opening. Ryan missed it.
Violent. No, I saw it. I watched it again.
Oh, you did? Good for you.
Of course I did.
She makes her way through the woods and onto the Kents' doorstep. Clark opens the door, surprised by the visitors, and gets introduced to Kara from Krypton, naked. Clark welcomes in his fellow countrywoman, and his parents extend a stay overnight. We learn that Kara came from the cave wall. Jonathan calls her bluff and asks her to share her powers. She tells him to stay out of it and asks Clark to return home. As they embrace, Lex barges in and Kara disappears. The two guys talk about Lionel being behind bars and how his lawyers will get him out of it. Clark offers to be an eyewitness to the crimes committed at Belle Reve. And in this scene, Clark tells him he witnesses Lionel ordering higher voltage against Lex. But Clark wasn't there. This was a great scene. A lot of things were going on. I like how Adrian is playing this character, Kara. I think that it's just very alien-like. It's very subtle. It's very sexy. It's all those things. And let me ask you, when she opened the door, I assume she wore pasties. We talk about this in the video that we watched, the screening. But I was saying that, you know, from now on, when I'm shirtless, I'm going to wear pasties. I think guys should start wearing pasties.
I mean, there is that thing. They'll probably won't film you from bows down, but because that's what the whole point is, in a way.
What if you wore just a big pasty on your Wong Chung?
Like in the end of this episode?
We see Lionel Lothar being escorted into a comically large jail cell by flipped FBI agent Loader. Despite being in handcuffs, Lionel's still wanting info on Clark Kent. Loader tells him he doesn't have a leg to stand on and leaves. And later that night, back on the Kent farm, we see that Kara, has found some clothing. She tries telling Clark that he is not meant for the human world. Clark tries to resist, but Kara convinces him to hear her out, and after she flies with him into the sky. Tom, any memories of filming the scene where you're flying?
In watching it, I couldn't figure out how it was happening. She says it's all him, that he's doing it. And we'll find out at the end of the episode some interesting information about whether that was true or not. I thought that was cool, but there was a joke I made that as they fly, they go right past a basketball hoop. And all I could think was, if Clark just had a ball, you could just dunk it right there. And that'd be hilarious.
He's such a non sequitur. I love the moonshot, too. What a beautiful moonshot, right?
It was a beautiful
moonshot. It looked really good.
When they're flying, one of the things I think she says is that everyone you know will die or leave you. That's why you have to come with me. And it's, as you know anything about Superman, you know that's going to happen. They either betray you, leave you, or,
so she was right.
Or die first.
She's right.
One thing that I remembered thinking about in preparation for that was, did you guys ever see an old show called Highlander?
I never watched it. It wasn't my cup of tea.
There could be only one. But one of the things they deal with is the fact that he outlives everyone he loves throughout the centuries. And I just recall having thought about that for this episode.
That's sad and very profound to think about it. Because really, she said something that's very generalized sort of statement, because my grandmother has sat there and watched all the people she loved die. And that's what people do as you age. People leave you. I just had a friend who I adore, Alex, and she lost her dad unexpectedly to a heart attack. And it's devastating. And it's like, it's cliche, but it's unfortunately, life is so great. And then it's so horrifying at times. And you just don't know what to expect. And it's, but that's sort of a generalized statement to say, but you know, it's also pretty, you know, it's apropos. They return to the ground into the Kawachi Caves. There, they investigate the crack in the wall where Kara came from. Kara said she's been waiting in the walls until the time when Jor-El felt Clark was ready. Clark denies her persistence and says he is not ready to leave. The next day at U.S. Penitentiary, Lex goes to visit his father. Lionel confesses to Lex that he has failed him as a father and shares his degenerative liver disease. He asks his son to not let him die in prison, and Lex responds by telling him to politely beat it.
Wait, well, when he says beat it, he says, Dad, well, because Lionel's trying to sympathize, he's trying to say like...
He's trying to get Lex back to help him get out.
Lex says, this might have been more effective if you had a string quartet in the corner playing Barber's Requiem. That is the song at the end of the episode.
It is?
Requiem. It's that Mozart. That's like the most famous part. The most famous
Barbara's
movie.
Requiem. Is it Barbara? And
you said Barbara or Barbara's. I was Googling it. Barbas. I couldn't find anything, but I know he said Requiem, and I know that's what the song is.
So that was that.
That was that.
You were right.
That was that.
That is that.
1 point for Ryan. And it's got the, and Barber. Get it? Barber?
Kiki Maybe
Barber's
I'm wrong about that, but
Kiki
I know.
Barber's Requiem. Back in the Kent farm, the Kents discuss whether or not Kara's for real as she mindlessly stares out the window. They consider Dr. Swan being behind this. Kara interrupts the convo and tells Jonathan that he cannot be trusted because he broke the covenant. This forces Jonathan to share the deal he made with Jor-El to get Clark back from Metropolis. As this is going on, we see Detective Loader using a satellite dish to overhear the conversation from his cruiser. Kara notices,
speeds
out of the car, and then freaking vaporizes the car inside. I mean, she vaporized him. I didn't think the effect was that good, but it was pretty dark. And you got to think, Clark's like, if this is what you do to people, I don't want to be involved with you.
Well, she just hates dudes driving cars, apparently, is what we've learned.
Yeah.
She has no patience for a man in a car.
Talkville is brought to you by Factor. I love Factor. I spent so much money, Tom, going to the grocery store and then making meals and spending so much time, and then the ingredients get wasted and you don't even cook them or delivery services and paying so much money. Factor meals you will absolutely love. These meals are made in 2 minutes. They're delicious. There's 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. You'll always have new flavors to explore. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? I mean, this stuff is just great. It comes to your door, you put it in the fridge, and you cook it when you want to. You're going to save so much money, and you're going to have great meals.
I enjoy going to eat it.
Yeah.
Does that sound weird?
It doesn't. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Help meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. No matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals.
Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon.
Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up.
Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced.
Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced. Head to factormeals.com/talkville50 and use code talkville50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code talkville50 at factormeals.com/talkville50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
After witnessing a murder, Martha and Jonathan continue their argument about the reckless deal made with Jor-El and what it means now for Clark and his family. The next day at school, Jonathan Kent walks into Smallville High. He goes to meet Chloe in the torch and asks her for help in analyzing the fingerprints on a cup used by Kara. Lana pulls up to the Kent farm in her Jeep Liberty, the second time she's made an appearance during a season finale in preparation for her departure. She asks Clark for a ride to the airport the next day and then pleads with Clark to share his real feelings. As she strokes her nicely wet, weird, different hair that I kind of like, she does find Kara standing in the distance. And Clark says it's his cousin from California. that hot chick staring at me is my cousin. What do you got? I guess first cousins marry where you're from, Clark?
She could have been from Jonathan's side.
She's literally out in the middle of a field doing nothing. She's not even like, she's not holding anything. She's not completing any task. She's just glaring.
Yeah, and I like her.
She's really nice. You should meet her.
Lana looks jealous. She's jelly. You like blondes. I knew it. After Lana leaves, Kara says Clark is not meant to be with her. She tells him they are the only ones left and must rebuild the Kryptonian race. Wink, wink. Clark walks inside feeling uneasy and hears a knock at the door. It's a courier who tells him he has a package from someone unknown named Lionel Luther. Inside the package is a key. I like how he also says, the guy goes, "Who's that?" Didn't he say that?
I think we all said that when that guy showed
but
up.
But I think he said it too. He said, "Who's that?" I thought he did. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, wait. No, wait. I think what you're remembering is when Lana sees Kara in the field, she says, "Who's that?"
She does it.
Damn, who's that? It's Kara.
Yeah, she does.
She tries getting Lex to show Lionel some sympathy, but Lex tells her she needs to carry on with their plan to take him down. Clark leaves his home to ask Lionel what the key is. Lionel tells him that he knows Clark's name is on the prosecution list. He goes on to tamper with the state's witness by telling Clark he didn't kill his parents, and the key he holds opens a secret room at Luther Mansion. Clark heads straight to Luther Mansion, avoiding any security, of course, in Lex's secretive room that Lionel shouldn't even know about, and uses the key to enter Lex's secret stalker room, and is shocked by the contents of the room and turns to find Lex standing in the doorway. And he's pissed off because Lex said he stopped prying into his life. And Lex tells him, "It's not you.
Hold on a second. We love this on the live podcast. I have to bring it up again. Clark walks into Lex's Clark Museum, and one of the first lines Lex says, "Clark, I know you think this is all about you." And Clark's like, "Why? Because of the headshot that you took from my agent?"
You have
like
10 different headshots of me in your room, dude. Clark doesn't buy it and tells Lex he's just like his father before storming out. And then Lex goes on to all the pictures. No, I'm kidding. Cut that out. Clark goes back home to share the news with his mother. He's starting to think that Kara may have a point and that he should return home. Martha tries to console her son, and Clark suddenly remembers that he's supposed to see off Lana. Instead of running into Clark at the airport, Lana runs into Lex outside. She thanks him for the gesture, and he says, "Maybe I'll see you there." Across the street, Clark watches, white rose in hand and heartbroken. Lana sees him, tries to reach him, but he leaves. She picks up the white rose and cries off in her newly wet hair. Lex leaves to head back to the courthouse to attend his father's trial. Chloe is there and lets him know that the star witness, Clark Kent, is nowhere to be found. As they discuss this, Clark barges in, gives Lex a shoulder, and heads towards the courtroom. Lex tries thanking him, but Clark tells him, "Our friendship is over." That's like Stallone when he's like, "You wanted this war. This is war, your war, not mine. This war is over. You called me, I didn't call you. You called me, I didn't call you. Nothing's over."
No, but I thought it was interesting as Clark brushes past Lex. He gives him a little shoulder, and Lex doesn't flinch too much. As a viewer, I kind of wanted to see Lionel in the courtroom, but I guess you really don't need it. I just felt like it all happened too quick. Like Clark walks in past Lex, and all of a sudden Lionel comes out. Like, how long were they in there? It seemed like.
Yeah.
But I like the way that you were like, you were kind of like, "Okay, I see how it is. I see you." And then when he says, when Clark says, "We're not friends, our friendship is over," you know, I kind of wanted you to be like, "Can't say that. It's not fair.
Less is better."
Those words have meaning.
Yeah, there was no courtroom scene.
Yeah, but you didn't need it.
I guess not.
You didn't need it. There's been a lot of extras. Nah, you didn't need it.
You would have had a Canadian guy trying to be a lawyer.
Order. Order in the court, eh? Order. You owe the court two loonies and a toonie, and where's your two? Get your...
Just
the
day play.
The Canucks are playing the night. Without seeing any more in the courtroom, we cut back to a scene in the Kent barn and find Clark and Kara talking about his frustrations with the humans. Kara tells him that his birth mother, Lara, has missed him so much. With this, Clark says that he is ready to leave. Later that afternoon, Martha and Jonathan are frantically searching for Clark, concerned with the way he was talking. At the same time, Chloe shows up with DNA results showing weird results with relation to Kara.
Was that when she like drove in her
little
Beetle?
Yeah.
Like, it was like an all one shot. Like she had to drive in and like hand it off. Like,
and say all her lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a...
It was a very clean handoff.
It was a clean handoff. It was a steady cam day.
It also looked like John was like close to kind of catching a corner in front. You know, if he's been around cars his whole life, he wasn't going to get it.
This is true. Yeah. Inside the caves, we see Clark and Kara holding hands and wall blasting some light from the fissure. Fissure?
Fissure.
Fissure, where Kara came from. Jonathan interrupts them in time and reveals that Kara's real name is Lindsay. She's not Kryptonian, but a petty thief. We learn that Lindsay's car was hit while driving on a road near the caves during the meteor shower, and she's been preserved ever since. Jor-El was just using Kara to lure Clark back. Jor-El begins speaking from the walls. Clark, or no, Jor-El, or Kal-El. He zapped Kara, saying she has served her purpose. Going on to say Jonathan has as well, as he strangles him with a burst of energy. In order to save his father, Clark agrees to zap through the cave walls and join Jor-El. Back in the Maxim, I thought that was cool, really good. Yeah. That was a cool effect. It looked really good.
It was creepy. That was
20 years ago, and it still looked good.
Like the pulling of the face of the pixelated.
Yeah, it looked dope, dude. Back in the Maxim security prison, we see Lionel greeted by a fellow inmate who proceeds to buzz his hair. He's beginning to look like Lex. Well, this happens, and it was our buddy Rick who was shaving. He passed away, but he was our bodyguard on set and really great guy, and shaved John's hair.
Oh, he was very buff.
He was very buff. While this happens, we see Lex downing some poison booze, Chloe and her father in a house that explodes under protective custody, Martha observing a burned Kryptonian symbol on the farm, and the episode ends with Clark nude in the fetal position and Jor-El telling him that he will be reborn. You know,
well, and if you were to have watched our live viewing of this, you would have seen the three of us like mouths agape, being like, "What? How is this?" Even Ryan, after the house blew up, you thought that was it, and it just kept going. It was more and more happening that none of us remembered.
Yeah, well, you know what's crazy is the episode bookends with nakedness.
It does.
Nude woman, the nude Clark. And the whole episode was good. It was like, okay, this is pretty good. But the last 5 minutes were huge.
I thought it felt like the scene at the end of The Godfather during the christening.
Yeah.
It's the montage of Michael getting his revenge, and it was the montage of Lionel getting his revenge on all of his enemies.
Yeah. I don't know how Chloe's going to survive that explosion. I mean, the whole house just, how the F would she live?
They were both inside. They closed the door and then.
Yeah, maybe she. It doesn't make sense. She's dead. But,
maybe she was behind the freezer when it exploded.
Chloe's dead. I don't know. She's dead. Highlights and lowlights. Working with Adrian Pilecki, she was awesome. She was really cool. I didn't have any scenes with her, but we hung out a little bit when we got back to LA just as friends. And she's a sweetheart. And I thought she did a great job. Tom, you like working with her?
Yeah, she was fantastic. I saw her recently at a con, and it was just like, hey, what's up? And we talked a little bit about this episode and how Marvel was a big hit at the time. So for her to come in on her first episode and literally take all her clothes off, she's like, you know, that wasn't the easiest thing to do in the world. She'd just be in front of a crew for the first time naked with pasties. But yeah,
she's done a great job. Friday Night Lights, I love Friday Night Lights. She's on the Orville, Redenbacher. That's a great show. I haven't seen it, but I hear it's good.
Oh, she was one of the assassins in John Wick, the first
John
one.
Wick. She worked with John Woo. The friendship between Clark and Lex is certainly at a boiling point, the most we've ever seen. I don't know how they're going to rebound from this, but, you know, walking into that room and seeing all these things, him doing all this. But then you have to think for a second, well, he's right. Lex is looking into me because I'm mysterious. There's no one more mysterious than Clark Kent. You could still be friends with somebody, but also still like fascinated by something's going on with this guy. What is it? I don't know. What is he supposed to do? Just go, oh yeah, you show up to everybody, saving everybody, and you save me off, I'm letting it go, man. I'm a mastermind. I'm a brilliant man, but I'm just going to let it all go. So there's got to be something there that, you know, Clark knows that he's not, you know.
Well, if it was present day, he'd be stalking him on Instagram or something.
Yeah, he'd just be diving really into your DMs, just diving into Clark's DMs. Interesting things of note. Lionel describes his struggle with Lex as Oedipal. Oedipus was a man from Greek mythology who unknowingly killed his father. You know, the Oedipus complex. Glover volunteered himself to shave his head. Adrian Pilecki, who played Kara, went on to star in the canned Aquaman pilot alongside Justin Hartley. She also starred in the unaired Wonder Woman pilot. The symbol burned into the Kents field means crusade, most likely in reference to the next episode, also called Crusade. Yeah, Crusade. Thank you. We've been trying to get Sam Jones on, Sam Jones the Third on, for quite a while. It's a brief little interview because he's filming, but we got him for about 8 or 9 minutes, and his energy is just electric, and it was so nice to at least see him. We're going to get him on for more future episodes, but at least we got a little taste of Sam, and next time we promise it will be a longer interview, but at least you get the idea of how much fun and how heartbreaking it was when he, well, you'll just listen. Check this out. And hold on, Sam. Hold on. You look good. Damn, you look good. Hold on a second.
Hold the horses.
Hold the horses, baby. Sam Jones the Third, folks. We have waited for this pinnacle moment. You don't understand, Sam. You have become such a favorite again. And like, you know, this is the finale of season three. And like, you are our star guest. That's it. One guest. You're the guest. And thank you for finally being here.
Damn. Thank you guys. Thank you guys, man. It means a lot to me, man. It's crazy because like, I swear every social media platform that I have, all I got was like DMs from fans. Like, go on Top Field. Why won't you go on Top Field? Why won't you go on Top Field? I'm like, hey, if I don't go on soon, I feel like they're gonna catch me outside, not just on social media. So I'm here, man. And I miss you guys, miss all the fans. So, you know, excited to be on with you guys today.
We talk about you all the time and on the podcast. Every time we see your character, we're like, there he is. We always say we want more Pete. We always say that.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I missed you guys, man. I think it's sorry. I'm on set right now, so it's a little loud. But you know, I just think that it's really funny how like life can imitate art sometimes. And like, you know, I would see some of the Talkvilles and I would see Tom, like, you know, Sam, we want him on the show, and I would see the positive stuff going, but I was trying to just like, I'm not even gonna look at that. I'm not going on that show. I don't wanna rebuttal those feelings, you know. And you know, I'm here now. It's emotional for me, man. Honestly, you know, I know Tom and Michael, like we were just babies when we started that show.
Yeah.
And it was like we really became a family. Like we would be eating over each other's houses, and it was just an amazing experience. And when I left, it was super emotional. So to come back on, that was kind of the like, damn, I don't want to pull up these feelings again and all this stuff, but I'm excited that I did, and I missed you guys, and I'm happy to be here,
man. We missed you too, man. And Sam, I got to tell you, you know, when that final scene where you say, Clark, I'm going, your guys are, you know, you're on the basketball court at the farm, and you get emotional, it's like you always brought it. Like, you, it's almost like you knew you didn't have much to do in an episode, or whether you did or not, you just turned it on. You turned it on,
yeah.
And you wanted to be the best. I remember you being so young, and I was young, but you were even younger, but you were always like wanting to be great, wanting to be the best you could, always trying to find something. How's that? How do we do this? How do we do that? You were always such a team player. What do you like? What were your thoughts when they, did they tell you this was going to be your last episode? How much head time or headway did you have?
Honestly, what I remember is for that first, I forget. Actually, I think I found out at a convention or something. It was like the weirdest thing, dude. Like, are we just telling the truth here? Like, honestly, I don't remember exactly how they told me, but they did tell me it was going to be my last season. And I remember we were at a convention and they were like, if the fans ask you about like next season, don't really bring it up because we don't want them to know. So I remember going out on stage and everyone was so excited and the fans were asking questions and I was sitting there just knowing I wasn't coming back next season. And then again, still just keeping it under my lid, you know, with the emotions on stage and the fans being there and knowing I wasn't come back. It was really heartbreaking, man, because Smallville was actually my first series ever. And yeah, my career, it was incredible. Like the first movie I ever did, I was the lead. The second movie I ever did, I was the lead. The first series I ever did was Smallville and it was like huge. So it just felt like, you know, just being a teenager and starting acting. And I felt like this is the way that things are. Like, okay, now I found my family with these guys. And it was just emotional on the on that front. And then not being able to tell the fans and then leaving. And then people would be like, why did you leave? We love your character. So it was kind of a lot, you know.
And yeah, just acting is my whole life, dude. So even if I only had one scene or, you know, a couple lines, it would be like, how can I make this real? How can I really relate to the character? And I mean, we started bonding during the pilot. Me and Tom, I remember like being in the Sutton Place Hotel and looking at the comic books like, oh, this is my character. And this is my character. Try to do research. And I'm like, wait, Pete's white. Like, that's me right there. Like, it was a crazy. So I just, it's crazy when I hear from the fans and they say things like, you know, Smallville got me through war, like people went to war, or Smallville held our family together, or just how impactful this show was, you know. So it wasn't just impactful to us as actors or us as our characters, but it was also impactful to the fans. And I'm just happy to be here, just to see you guys again, man. I definitely want to start doing more with the two of you guys. I remember we saw each other like maybe was it a year ago, a few months ago at that convention
in Kentucky or something. Yeah.
No, I think it was Raleigh, yeah, North Carolina or something. It was something on the East Coast, right?
Yeah. I forget exactly where it was. But I'm it's right now, I'm in a really great place, man, in my personal life. And definitely just getting back with my original family, which is you guys, is something that I've always wanted. So this is actually a really big moment for me, bigger than just the podcast. You know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, man, we love you being here. And I have two fan questions for you. They're kind of two in one. Because you're the one of the only characters besides Clark's parents who knows his secret, and you had to keep it, and you had to deal with that stress of keeping it. And then secondly, how easy was it to hate Lex Luthor?
Oh, bastard.
Well, I remember when I met Michael, I'm like to myself, this is terrible casting. Like, this dude's got long hair. He's funny. He farts a lot. Like, this is first day on set. He had the bald head. Then I was like, oh, wait, hold up. Like, what happened to the hair? And Michael is such a brilliant actor, honestly. He really turns that Lex thing on. He goes right into character. And he just made it so believable. You know, even sometimes, like, when they would say cut, he wouldn't really deal with me like Sam. He would deal with me still as Lex. The set design was so good. The outfits were so good. And he was just so phenomenal as an actor that it was real. You know what I mean? Kudos to Michael for definitely being a team player, and just like any emotions that I brought in scenes with them, it was very easy because he's giving on both sides of the camera and he's super talented. Because in real life, he ain't nothing like
that. I ain't cool. You know, Sam, you know what's funny is I felt the same way. I felt like they're going to fire me. I'm a goofball.
I hate to cut this short, but the director, he's like, they're running way behind. And I just jumped in right here, right now.
Well, look, we love you, and hopefully, you know, we can do this and have a little longer of an interview next time. Or
yeah, let's do it again, man. I really want to sit down and like get into the nitty gritty and really, you know, build with you guys. Guys, it's just like right now
Do your thing, buddy.
Do your thing.
Great seeing you.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me. Let's do another one, man.
Break a leg, buddy.
All right, cool.
See ya.
Love you.
We love Sam Jones. Sam, we love you. Thanks for coming. You're going to come on again soon. I know you had to go film. Good luck with that. And man, that was just incredible. And now it is time for the hotline. Thank you for calling 213-JET-CUTE. We love your questions. Sometimes, right now, we're going to go to Patreon privilege, patreon.com/talkville. Here we go. A lot of privileges, and you help the podcast. Let's start out with Garrett W. Garrett, what do you got, buddy? Nice hat. Talkville.
Hey there, Garrett W. from the Smallville Forever patron group. My question is for the episode Covenant. That ending scene with Lana is pretty brutal. Tom, do you remember filming that scene? And I'm sure it's a cut, but always curious, when that bus goes by, did you like sprint down the escalator to hide from the camera, or was it a cut? Thanks.
That's a very good question. I thought the same thing. And if I would think I ducked, I just like took two steps and ducked behind something, and then Kristen had to pretend she couldn't see me ducking. I'm pretty sure that's how we did it, because that would save a lot of money and time.
Interesting. Thanks, Garrett.
Like, the modern way to do it is like you're standing there and then you shoot a plate of you not standing there and you have a digital bus go by and that's the transition.
Or you just go, you see him standing there and you cut back to Lana and then you cut back and he's gone. Like, it's just an edit. Who gives a shit? You don't even need to see him that...
Well, it's just the bus going across, and then he's suddenly not there. Is kind of a fun.
I think he jumped on the bus.
He jumped on the bus.
Hey, it's Thomas, yeah. Leaf Blower from Niagara Falls, Canada. I have a question for the season 3 finale, Covenant. Just wondering, what was Adrienne Pilecki like? She seems like a really cool actress, and she's gone on to do a lot of cool other things, a lot of other superhero projects. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. We just discussed that. So we had that. I appreciate Thomas. We loved her. She was fantastic. We just saw her at a con. Brandon?
Hey, guys. Brandon from Indiana. Just watched last night the season 3 finale, Covenant. I don't know if you guys have already recorded for this or not, but I have a couple questions. What the hell? What the hell? I mean, just like, what the hell? This is the third finale in a row that we have watched right before it's time for bed, that I've had to now stay up later than I'm supposed to because I got to know what happened. And, of course, the first episode of season 4 did not give me very many answers. But, what the hell? What the hell? That's about all I can say.
All right. Well, first of all, a new t-shirt's going to come out and it's going to say, what the hell, Brandon? Because what the hell? I agree with you. It was a lot of holy shit moments, Brandon, and there's nothing else to say than what the hell. I'm speechless too. A lot of stuff happens. It was pretty crazy, and I hope we figure out what happens. It's kind of disappointing that you say nothing.
I mean, listen, as viewers of other TV shows, it's inevitable, and you try not to think about it, but when you watch the, you know, especially in the old days of regular TV, you watch the season finale, and it ends, and you're like, what? And you're so happy and pissed off at the same time that you have to wait to see what happens.
I'll tell you what, it's like a streamer, like that, one of those, you know, it was really a cliffhanger like what they do now. So it was kind of nice.
Hi, this is Willa from Wisconsin. Do you guys think Lex actually believes what he says about his obsession room not being about Clark? Or do you think he's just desperately trying to cover? Thanks.
I think it's both. I think, honestly, I think Lex is like going, how did I survive? Do I have something? But he also thinks something about Clark. I think it's twofold.
He's got a giant poster of Clark. Or maybe it's just the actor Tom Welling that he's into. We don't know.
Yeah, that was his headshot. It was weird.
Hi, this is Sarah from Smallville Memes. In the series, it is emphasized that being a hero is Clark's destiny, largely because he has powers that no one else does because he's Kryptonian. However, there are many times in the series where Clark's powers are lost, transferred, or give an additional person without the physical toll that Jonathan received. And I think that every time that it is done, the show suffers because it makes Clark's alien origins less meaningful. If anyone can get these powers, what makes Clark's genetics so special? Thanks so much.
Let's call Al.
Do you have an answer?
No, I don't think we ever really touched on the Clark really gets his energy from the sun. So I don't think tracking sunlight and not. But she brings up a lot of good points, but I think it goes back to what you say a lot, is suspension disbelief. I mean, you got to just
I didn't
sit back and relax.
Sarah, you're smarter than we are. What can I say, Sarah? Thank you.
Hey, guys, it's Jason from Pittsburgh. This question is for Michael and Tom. Did Al or Miles give you any insight or direction or instructions about the character of Kara coming on to the show? Were you told that she was just going to be featured in a one-er? Were you told that she was going to be in multiple episodes, a potential regular on the show? I just think all of us Smallvillians would love to know the answer to that question. Love you guys. Love Superman. You guys are great. Have a great weekend.
You're a nice man. Thank you. I just got to set and I was like, who's that? Damn, who's that? And there's Kara, you know, and it's like, oh, she's playing Kara. Who's Kara? She's supposed to be from Kryptonia, but she's not. Oh, cool. Does it affect me? Not really. Okay. I'm going to my trailer.
You know, what could have been cool looking back is in your Clark Museum. What if there was a picture of Kara for some reason? That would have been kind of cool.
I like how we keep calling her Kara, Kara.
Color.
Shane, thank you, Jason. You're a very kind man.
Hey, guys. This is Shane from Florida. So I think this may be the singular best season final in Smallville's history, perhaps with the exception of the series finale. And my question is, did you guys ever take time during the process of being on the show to sort of reflect and take pride in what you were doing and accomplishing and producing? Or did that only kind of get to come after the fact when you guys had some time and distance away from it? Thanks so much, guys.
There are times, Shane, where I go, wow, I am this shows. I'm so proud of it. Most of the time I was proud of it. And I was happy to be on it. As a artist and I guess a perfectionist, I certainly, you know, wanted sometimes episodes to be better or storylines to be better but ultimately, I was proud, and I'm more so proud now. Tom?
Yeah, I think I'm able to appreciate it now that time has passed a little bit. I'm not sort of being in the trenches with it. We're going to find an episode later on where Clark throws, I don't know, something into the snow and
The Fortress of Solitude comes out. And I remember that day was huge because we got picked up in helicopters. Oh, we had three helicopters flying around filming. And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite day ever.
Yeah. That was pretty amazing. I can't wait till we get to that. And they cut me out of that completely, and I was in the snow and on a mountain.
Hey, guys. This is Eric the Incredible Folk calling in from Utah. I had a question about season three finale, Covenant. When Lionel Luthor shaved his head, was there any reactions from the cast or crew?
It was just awesome, and it was his choice, and I think his idea, and good for John. He did it for the art, and it was time. He wanted to shave his head, and it was the perfect time. He was in prison, and I think the crew was like, holy shit, he looked good with a shaved head. He looked good with hair.
And he acted all the way through it. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was just like, you knew you were watching a professional.
Yeah.
And that was a cool moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's your frequency, Kenneth?
Hey, this is Kenny from Ohio. At the time I saw this, it was the greatest season finale of a TV show that I had ever seen. And I spent the entirety of the summer waiting for season four, speculation and rumors and whatever leaks I could find online. And I just wanted to know if it hit you guys in 2023 as hard as it hit me back in 2004 when it aired. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, my response this time was even bigger. I think I watch it and I'm just like, now that I'm watching the show, it's pretty astounding. Tom.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it holds up. I think it's a great episode.
Ryan, you can't answer that.
Well, it was great. We all watched it together.
We were mesmerized.
Our mouths were agape.
Agape. Our mouths were agape.
My question is for Tom. Tom, seeing the end of the episode when you, Jonathan, and Kara are in the caves, when the cave opens, you're kind of like all the actors' hair is moving. How do you guys shoot that when you're kind of doing a scene where something is moving your hair because of, you know, the energy of the cave wall? Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
You got sitting there with a fan who apologizes before it even turns on. He goes, I'm sorry, I have to do this, but it's my job.
Russ.
And they go, action. And you got a couple guys moving lights, and you got a big old thing. And, like, and you just try to feel it in your body what it could possibly be like. And, you know, leaning forward or back because the energy is pulling you. It's a lot of fun. You got to let yourself do it, though. You can't judge it in the moment.
Check this out. Check this question out. This is what Ryan was saying. Quinn said the same thing, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
This is Quinn from Warsaw, Indiana. I was wondering, the final scene when Lionel was head shaved, if that was based loosely on The Godfather, because that's kind of where my mind went when I watched it. I thought The Godfather, when Michael was getting chopped that size while everybody else was getting killed in the enemy.
That was the worst recording ever. But Quinn, you rock. It was just a bad soundbite. But, the quality, but yes, Godfather, totally Godfather. That was pretty freaking rad. You were right on, buddy. You were right on.
I think that's what they're going for. Why not? Wait, what a thing for them to shoot for.
Yep. International folks, Rich, Michael, do you remember how many takes you did of the end choking scene? I don't recall that many. I don't recall that many. I just remember it being, you know, you have to, it's the subtlety, it's the drink, and then it hits you. And then I remember making notes. Like I would think, okay, you're just enjoying a drink. It's all, you feel guilty. And then something's happening and you realize you've been poisoned and the fear and look on your face. So it was just kind of like, okay, how do I get there in like 3-5 seconds? It's like, oh, okay. And then like, oh, you know, it's pretty easy.
And then fall toward the table.
Yes. Because
you don't want to fall the other way.
Angle that way. We have to see you fall out of frame that way, and then we'll get a stunt guy. Bria, or I'll do it. This episode featured the most dramatic Clark moment of the entire series, which is when he saw Lex and Lana hugging goodbye and dropped his flower as he left. As beautifully sad as this scene was, Tom, why do you think Clark reacted like this and didn't wait to say goodbye?
Probably didn't know how to say goodbye, you know? He didn't want to cause that pain. He just wanted to disappear, I would imagine.
Brian Adams once said, never say goodbye, never say goodbye.
I found Raj's question, if you want.
Yeah.
It's a doozy.
But
it's very specific.
Is it long?
Yeah.
Typical Raj.
In the scene after Lex has fallen through the glass tables and is choking on the floor, we see an issue of Forbes in clear view. You don't see this magazine on the table as Lex falls through, which made me wonder if there was a reason for including it in this shot. was able to figure out it was the October 2003 issue and Entrepreneur of the Year issue. Not very relevant to the episode by itself, but when looking at the table of contents, page 148 had a story called Where Are They Now? Implying a tough year for former individuals featured as Entrepreneur of the Year. Made me wonder if someone in the props department specifically included this issue to imply it covered Lionel as a former Entrepreneur of the Year and his downfall after being arrested for the murder of his grandparents. Something Lex would obviously be very interested in reading during the events of this episode. And he includes pictures.
Lex, Raj, first of all, get a life. All right, that's number right, one. Raj. Get a life. Number
Raj, two, you have a family.
I mean, your family, but like, Raj, you know I don't like long questions. And two, this question was so long and so ridiculous.
You forgot what it was about.
It was interesting.
I mean.
Well, you can read it later.
I love you, Raj.
Because I'm looking at it and it's interesting.
Rosenbaum rating system. What do you give it, Ryan?
Three.
Wow. Tom.
I give it a three.
Wow.
I got to go 2.5. 2.5.
Me too. 2.5.
I don't know what. Well, I mean, yeah.
I think the first episode's always the three, and everything's close, but not quite. But this is good. This is a 2.5. Solid, like A. Death and save count. Death and save three count. Dead. Kara kills the driver on the road at night. Kara vaporizes Detective Loader. Jor-El zaps Zara. Kara. Zero saved through 22 episodes of season three.
Wait. We have to assume that both Chloe and her dad are dead. We have to.
At this point, we don't know yet, though. We can't add those yet because we haven't had full disclosure of that.
Confirmation.
We just saw them walk into a house that exploded.
Yes, but we don't know. Through 22 episodes in season three, 33 dead, 33 saved. Series, 92 dead, 103 saved. Ryan's favorite scene.
I mean, do we even have to?
He's going
to
write down three scenes. We will guess which one is his favorite scene.
I think you guys can just guess.
Well, I would say it's probably the whole montage at the end. It's the whole Godfather.
I mean, you can say it as a favorite scene.
Well, go ahead, read them out.
Well, no, because that's clearly it. I didn't even bother because that was obviously the.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. It's the ending because
it's either that or like the cave scene before, but then the cave scene was immediately trumped by just one of the most.
There was no. I mean, there's no way
jarring the things I've ever seen in this series.
All right, so I think I won.
I think everybody gets. Let's give everyone a point.
That is it for the episode in this season. Guys, stay tuned for a couple bonus episodes where we break down everything from season three and do a little best of like we did for season one. Follow our socials to stay in the loop so you don't miss anything. Please support Patreon, patreon.com/talkville. Become a member. We need your help. We need to keep, if you want us to keep going, patreon.com/talkville. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast. Show support for the podcast by, again, joining patreon.com/talkville. More info, the hotline number, all that stuff is in the handles. And if you go to Instagram, @TheMichaelRosenbaum, my tree link, what is it called? Linktree. You get where Tom and I are going, all that stuff, and much, much more. And we thank you for this wonderful episode. It was a blast. And remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville.
Talkville is brought to you by our patrons. Couldn't do this without you. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And that's why we have so much fun making fun of your handles. So here we go. Michael,
wait. Well, you got to tell them patreon.com/talkville to become a patron. Get your name shouted out. We love you. And we can't do the show without you. You know that. Tom, take us away.
All right. Vicky G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas the Leaf Lawyer, thank you for your question. Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P, Ray H, Karen Apple M, Danielle B, 99 more, Leilani, rhymes with, just kidding, and Brett G, always hold on to Smallville, Estevan G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, and Kimberly L.
Tom and Jason W, Osama A, Lana rhymes with banana W, Nancy D, Brian G, Sarah W, YVR Grips, that's Vancouver Grips, Anna M, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, Jordan M, Randy B, Craig G, Christy R, Karen P, Jor-El, Heather and Greg, I'm A, Talkville, say butts, Brian H, Eric K, Kristen B, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, early is on time.
Damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, General Zod, Big D, Doug R, Carlos C, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Ken the Limerick Guy, Corey L, Mr. Home Arcade, Amanda K, Jesse C, Claire M, D Brown, Karenira M, Jules M, Eldon Supremo, Leslie V, Mick Burtz, Ginger Moose, Christoph S, Michelle M, Drew Marisol P.
Oh, well, how about that? Mike Marisol P. And it's usually you, Michael Caine doesn't blink. Sebastian F, Sarah Puss, Cranky Pants, Matthew and Lincoln B, The Coopers, Marion Louise L, C, Geo. Marion, I sent you a package because it got sent back, but we just sent you another one, so hopefully you got that. I'm so sorry. C, Geo, Cindy C, Nikki L, Big Bash Bosh, Shannon Fofan and M, Tina E, Matt R, Jen T, Cassie R, Felicia R, Danny M, DS the RN, JS, Rachel D, Gingerous Prime, and Nate D. When you're rich, you aren't crazy, you're eccentric. Let's read the last ones.
Jonas One, brothers. Samantha's. Samantha S.
No, yeah,
Darkville's,
you're right.
Derek?
Darkville's Derek.
Yeah, it's Samantha S.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Starkville's Derek. Spicy Brown says. Carrie Ann, The Coopers. Daryl Lee. Kyle F. Charlene A. Spicy Chicken. Jenny B. Bunch of amateurs. Anna B. Lesson of Talkville. That's funny. Monica T. Tom H. What is that?
Jenna May.
Jenna Macy, Michelle M.
Heck yeah. We love you.
And I can read a little bit.
Thanks for supporting us. We'll see you later.
Thank you.